Good morning. Is it time for change? Yes. That's my lesson. Thank you. I'll sit down now. I'm just kidding. I'm going to preach too. A group of Church of Christ preachers, they huddled around a burnt out lamp. They discussed the theological reasons behind the lack of light and its spiritual implications. When in the distance they hear, "How many preachers does it take to change a light bulb?" Change? Nobody likes change. Even in the church. Change is difficult. See, the joke is funny because it's true. But hardly anyone ever enjoys change. Granted, there are experiences where change can be a joy, but change generally is painful. It's easy for us to trivialize and find humor about change when it isn't us that's doing the changing. Believe me, when it's you that's needing to do the changing, it's no laughing matter. It's painful. It's as if your entire world comes to a screeching halt. Problems often manifest themselves in denial of responsibility when faced with change. We find ourselves making excuses and sadly pointing the finger at others at the source of our much needed change. We say things like, "I don't have this or that. I can't even afford to change." Listen, you can't afford not to change. Sometimes environment is blamed. And I do believe Paul when he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, that bad company corrupts good morals. But at the end of the day, it's our character that's on the line. It's our sense of self-worth that is in jeopardy. It's our peace of mind that is betrayed. You, and only you, can take steps toward moving forward. That is, if you're willing. Consider this. Judas, disciple of Jesus, had the best teacher, the best leader, the best preacher, the wisest, the best friend that you could ever have. And Judas failed to make the changes that Christ asked for him. Why? Judas did not trust God's timing for change. See, the problem is not outside influences. It's not your parents or your friends. It isn't your teachers or your coworkers. And as often as we'd like to believe it, it's not your boss's fault. Once more, the problem isn't leadership. It's not the church you attend. It's not your preacher. It's your attitude. And if your attitude doesn't change and your character doesn't follow, you will always be the same. And in the same position, needing change and never making it. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead and grab one from you in front of the pew. Flip to the middle of the Bible. You most likely will hit the book of Psalms. From Psalms, go one book over. You'll hit Proverbs. Go one more book. You'll find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is pretty interesting because there's this guy, Solomon, and he writes very poetically about life, about changes in life. Change is about one simple thing: timing. Timing is everything. No doubt you've heard this phrase before. There's a great deal of truth in the statement. The difference between A good joke and a bad one is a person's sense of timing, right? Timing is everything in relationships. Timing is essential when dealing with people. You don't ask for a raise when business is not going well or when things are tense around the office. You don't approach someone with a rebuke who doesn't appreciate you or respond to you because of timing. It's everything. You don't try to correct someone who feels threatened by you. You don't ask for a favor when someone is under a lot of stress or they're angry. Timing is important in everything. It's important in cooking. If you want to make yourself a delicious hamburger, if you take it off too soon, you just have a clump of raw meat. You leave it on too long, it's a clump of coal. You don't want to eat either of those things. Timing is important in medication. You get yourself to the doctor early enough, they can give you medications that can help the problem. If you take too little, it might not work. If you take too much, it can lead to drastic problems. Timing is important in your spiritual life. It is critical to live your life with an acute awareness of God's timing for life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting with verse number 1, it says this: there is an occasion, there is a time for everything, and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search, and a time to count as lost, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his struggles? I have seen the task that God has given people to keep them occupied. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He also put eternity in its hearts. But man cannot discover the work God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It is also the gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all of his efforts. I know that all God does will last forever. There is no adding to it or taking away from it. God works so that people will be in awe of him. Whatever is, has already been. And whatever will be already is. God repeats what has passed. Solomon tells us that life is really a matter of timing, very poetically. Life is a matter of timing. This should be very evident to us. You and I probably have dozens of clocks in our homes. Calendars everywhere. On your watches, on your computers, on your tablets, everywhere. We have places to be. We have things to do. Timing is everything. In a nutshell, I believe Solomon is saying three simple things. And I believe we find those three simple things in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 1. Firstly, we must expect change. Life changes consistently and continuously, and we need to be prepared for that. Secondly, God is in complete control. Solomon wants his readers to know that all of time is appointed. God is not up in heaven sitting on a cloud concerned or worrying with sweat dripping from his brow, worrying, Glenn, what are you going to do today? That's not God. And lastly, God's plan is leading to delight. Succinctly, in God's time, change brings forth delight. Bet that's not something you could say about change that occurs often in your life. Oftentimes, like I said previously, change that comes about in our life is painful and difficult. And sometimes, often more times than not, that change can lead to negative experiences in our life. Let's look back. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. There is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. The key word in this section is time. And it will be used 28 more times in the next 7 verses alone. Doesn't take a biblical scholar to understand the importance that Solomon is placing on this idea of timing. You know, there's this age-old adage, and I ask this to our teens quite regularly. It goes like this, and if you know the answer, I'd encourage you to answer, but if you don't, I'll answer it for you. When is the best time to plant an oak tree? 50 years ago. How about the second best time to plant an oak tree? Right now. Today. Not surprisingly, we understand that timing is critical. The idea is predicated on the fact that we believe in timing. Once more, God's timing. But that doesn't mean we listen. More often than not, we listen to our gut. My generation was spoon-fed this lie, listen to your heart. But it's what our heart wanted. It's what our gut desired. That got us into the sin situation and needing a change in the first place. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And Jesus himself says in Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." When it comes to change, we must submit to God's timing instead of our own gut instinct, what feels right. As followers of Christ, we must come to terms with the fact that our way is not the best way. In fact, it isn't even the right way. In accepting God's timing, we accept His ability to grow us and to change us. Don't believe me? Turn over to the book of James. James chapter 1. Love this. James, the brother of Jesus, records for us in some great detail spiritual heights, spiritual strengths, spiritual ways to grow us, to mature us. And I love that it's James that says these things, because I have to imagine I'm the youngest of 6 kids. James fit in there somewhere younger than Jesus. And like many siblings, you get frustrated with your siblings. You get irritated with them because of how good a sport they are, or their good grades. Or maybe mom and dad just see them in a different light. And could you imagine James, the brother of Jesus? I could see it. James, Jesus could do no wrong. Literally chose to do no wrong. And here's James. Maybe James' parents say to him, "Why can't you be more like Jesus?" And James is like, "This guy." Interesting enough, even in Jesus' ministry, even Jesus' own family has a hard time believing in who he was. But unlike Judas, James came to an understanding of God's timing. And it took him some time. But finally, he submitted to this change. And in James chapter 1, starting with verse number 2, we're reading just verses 2 through 4, James says this, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be matured and complete, lacking in nothing. See, this verse would gain you nothing in the event you find yourself on hard times if you don't trust in God's timing to mature you. God's timing is everything. And God is changing you. Little by little, His word is working on your heart, chiseling away. And that is why James speaks so highly of endurance, because sometimes things take a while to come out in the wash. But if you leave them in, they'll come out perfectly. In fact, what James says is that what goes in comes out far better than when it went in. God is maturing you to perfection. And while we are alive, while we are on this side of the grave, God is working on us. He is changing us. He is maturing us in His timing. Solomon continues to build his argument upon the word appointed. The events of our lives do not randomly happen by chance. God has a purpose behind them. Paul in Romans, the 8th chapter, maybe you know these couple of verses. I love them. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Paul would say to the church in Rome, "We know that all things work together to the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew to be predestined in the image of His Son." God, in His timing, is working all things to the good. Struggle with that is, oftentimes, we have a very misconstrued idea of what is good. Goodness, in its very definition, can be very subjective. What you like might not be what I like. But as followers of Christ, we must submit to the notion that what God says is good is good. Finally, Solomon uses an unusual Hebrew word translated event. This word conveys the idea of delight. By using this word delight instead of any other standard nouns that he could have used, Solomon implies that there is a sense of success based on appropriate timing. Even if the activity by its nature is not delightful. All of the events of our life, although they may not be pleasant or exciting to us, they can be a delight if we trust in God's sovereignty. And if we realize that ultimately even the negative circumstances are passing away, we will then be able to truly change. I want to show you a brief clip. I know this is unorthodox and very unusual, but this video is just a couple of minutes. I have shortened it because to watch it in its entirety, it's only 5 minutes, but as you watch this, it seems like a very long time. 2 minutes is going to seem rather long as well, but I just ask that you watch this video. Change comes with time. And the question you have to ask yourself with regards to what's been talked about this morning is, do you desire change? Do you have a willingness to change? Do you have the endurance to continue day after day seeking God? Because if you can, big change is coming. Is it time for change? Consider the words of another speaker of God's timing as we draw to a close. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 26, it says, "And an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up, go down south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to the desert Gaza.' So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of their entire treasury. He came up and worshiped in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. And the Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. And when Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was, he was led like a sheep to be slaughtered, and as a lamb is silent before the shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from earth. The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about? Himself or another person? So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from the scriptures. And as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is water. What would keep me from being baptized? This morning, the question remains, is it time for change? Thank you.